we've been doing on Joseph. I realised last week after that part of it that there's a heck of a lot in Joseph. There's a heck of a lot here to learn. So today I'm just going to sum it up and bring some principles I believe that God showed me through the week. So just to recap, last week Joseph was released from jail. Pharaoh got him to come and interpret two dreams that he'd had. These were dreams from God, and they were very important dreams about the next two lots of 7 years that were to come. Pharaoh had put Joseph in charge over all Egypt. So he's the big boss now. He was 30 years old. Remember, he was 17 when he had the dream. The dream was this, that he interpreted for Pharaoh, that the next 7 years were going to be great years, prosperous years, and in these years there'd be bumper crops throughout the land, and during those years Joseph was to gather all the crops that were grown and store them in the storehouses, store the grain from beyond and in all the surrounding fields, because after that there were going to be seven extreme years of famine. So Joseph did that. And I know, as been growing up on a farm and then marrying Graham and living on a farm, that's what you did. You made hay while the sun shone, because there's always different seasons ahead. So Joseph did that. He piled up huge amounts of grain and finally stopped keeping records because there was so much grain, it was too much to measure. During that time, Joseph, the Bible says, was given a wife, and he went on to have two sons. But those seven good years came to an end just as the dream predicted. And the next 7 years were years of extreme famine. The famine struck the surrounding countries hard. But in Egypt at the time, there was plenty of food. But eventually, the famine spread so far out throughout the land of Egypt, and people were coming and crying out to Pharaoh for food. He just said, "Go and see Joseph." The famine was severe throughout the countries, and people came from all around to get their food from Egypt. And so Joseph had to open up his storehouses and beginning to distribute the grain. Now Joseph's father Jacob, remember, back in Canaan, and his mean half-brothers were still back home. But when Jacob, the dad, heard that there was grain available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I've heard there's food and grain down in Egypt. Go down there and buy us enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we're going to die." So Joseph's 10 older brothers, they remember their half-brothers, went down to Egypt to get this grain. But Jacob wouldn't let the youngest brother go, Benjamin. Benjamin was his full brother, because Jacob was fearful that something might happen to him. Remember, way back, Jacob never really got over Joseph's death, although he thought he was dead, but of course he was not. Now, when the brothers arrived in Egypt, it was Joseph that they went to. Oh, my goodness. And they bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph recognized his brothers immediately. I can just feel that angst of seeing these 10 brothers face to face. But they didn't have any idea that it was Joseph, the brother that they hated and they sold into slavery and then told their father he'd been killed by an animal. They didn't have any idea, but Joseph knew it was them. Now, going back to the beginning of Joseph's story, when he was 17, the dream he had was about his brothers bowing down to him. And the brother's response at the time was, "Do you really think that you will be our king one day and that we're going to bow down to you?" And here it is, all in front of Joseph right now. Imagine what he was thinking and flashing back to that dream that was coming to pass before his eyes. That was a prophetic dream from God. And it was all about Joseph's destiny back then. And the word destiny we can translate into destination, because we're on a journey, aren't we? It was Joseph's destination. So here they are bowing down before him, even though they did not recognize him. You know, God tells us in Jeremiah that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. So we could say he has a destination for you to get to. And your destination can be dependent on you whether you end up there or not. It all depends how well you go through life's tests. We can see in Psalm 105, verse 19, we've got two comparisons there, the NLT and the New King James. It says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. The New King James is a slightly different slant. Until that time that his word, that's the prophetic word, the spoken word, until that word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. You see, one day this tests us. The word tests us. And remember, you're the only one that can stop your destiny. So we can see here that Joseph's character was being tested all the way through these years when things out of his control happened to him. But the great thing is, if we take a wrong turn in our life, the Holy Spirit just will recalculate, just like our Google Maps do when we don't obey it. It recalculates and it gets us to our destination, doesn't it? So until his dream came to pass, the Bible, the Word of God, tested him. Because we have to be doers of the Word, not just hearing a good message and, oh, that was great. Be doers. Do as the word says. Set yourself up to read it every day to understand what God is saying to you. And if you've had a prophetic word from God or a dream, until that comes to pass, you will be tested by this word. And God wants us to follow him by faith. By faith. He never tells us everything or shows us the whole picture. He only gave Joseph a dream which was way at the end of the destination. If he'd have told him everything that was going to happen in the middle, it would have been, he might have ran. I would have run if I knew that too. So if God has spoken something to you, if you've held on to something that you believe God has told you, don't let go. You will get to that destination. Danielle, when Pastor Brett Linder came, he said something to you, and that was a prophetic word for you. Hang on to that. You know what that is. Hang on to it. Let that be something of purpose to get you to your destination. He told something to Brooke, but she's not here today. I'll keep that for her. You see, God has a purpose, and this is all about Joseph's purpose, for everything and everyone. His brothers came to Egypt to buy grain, but they didn't recognize him. But then Joseph reveals himself. Now let's have a look at how he talks to his brothers in this scripture. And remember, they'd sold him to slavery. He ends up going to prison for being wrongly accused. But yet look how Joseph talks to his brothers. And this is a great example of something that we can learn too. And this will help us find our purpose in life. Genesis 45. Verses 3 to 8. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? He had great love for his father. But his brothers were speechless, as you could imagine. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer, and again he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. Take note, but don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine had ravaged in the land for 2 years, but it will last 5 more years and there will be neither ploughing nor harvesting. But God sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt. What a statement that Joseph could say. He knew He had a revelation that this was all a part of God's plan, because God had a purpose for everything that he did. And you have to believe too that you have a purpose in this life. There's a little saying I've got on the next PowerPoint. It says, you were created by a purposeful God. Everything God created, he created for a purpose. There is nothing that he created that doesn't have a purpose. In Ecclesiastes, I haven't got that there, it just says, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You have a purpose. You're not just here to take up space. God has a purpose for everything he created, and you need to understand that for your life. Our Creator had a purpose in mind for you when he designed you, and he designed you specifically to help other people, and your gifts are designed to help you in that purpose. So God knows he has a purpose for you, but do you believe it? You see, God had everything under control in Joseph's situation. It mightn't have looked like it, but the whole way through, God knew everything. And maybe Joseph understood that, because when you get a word from God and you know it's from God and you know it's over here, you hold fast to that. You hold tight. You have patience and you persevere, because you know that if God's given it to you, nothing is going to stop it. Nothing. But you have to position yourself in place too. Now, Joseph couldn't just, he didn't position himself there, but God did. And yet he used his gift. He used his gift as a leadership gift to serve. And so he was probably, even though he's in those places, he was fulfilled, because when you get to use your gift, it's quite fulfilling. It's amazing what God does, even when you're in the wrong place and you get to use these gifts. You get to witness to people or help people, encourage people. Don't go down in the doldrums yourself. Lift and help others. Position yourself. See, you can't just think, okay, I'm going to be this, God's shown me, and then never come to church. It isn't going to happen. You have to position yourself for God to be able to use you. I know people that have had calls on their life because God has spoken to them, and because something happened and they didn't like it, they've left church, or they just didn't persevere, didn't push through. I've seen that. Don't give up. Expect that it will happen, and stay faithful to the word. And if you find yourself in a place and you think, well, how the heck did I get here? This is part of the dream or vision. Then just be faithful, because God will bring you to the right place. It's probably just a test that you will be going through. So while God isn't a controller, he gives us free will, but ultimately he was in control over Joseph's destiny. And no matter what anyone did to him, and he had a lot happen along the way, God's purpose came to pass, because he said in here to his brothers, don't be upset, don't be angry. It's God who sent me here. He says that again in verse 7, God sent me. And then in verse 8, it wasn't you, it was God. And at the end of the day, I believe God was in control of his destiny. Another scripture, Romans 8:28, one of my favourite. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And you just have to look at Joseph's story to know that this scripture was right on there. It's talking to those, though, who love God and are faithful. And if he's called you, his purpose will be fulfilled. And he's called us all to do something, okay? He's always something God's called us to. You just have to hang around long enough and not give up. And God is not working to make us happy, okay? He's working it to fulfill his plan and his purpose, which fulfills us, can I say. In Isaiah 55, God tells us, so shall my word, he says, my spoken word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So if God speaks, it's going to happen. And it may be your happening hasn't happened yet, but we've still got a way to go. And it will happen if God's spoken to you. And it will prosper. And even if God spoke a word over you before you were even born, did you know that? He told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you for a purpose. That's what he told Jeremiah. He had a purpose. And in Romans 29, if I'd have gone on from there, it says he knew his people in advance. So he's already destined your destination. And that's why he's given us gifts. And don't tell me you don't have a gift. He's given us all a gift. Because God has a purpose for us to help others. God gave Joseph the gift of leadership. He was a great leader. He had plenty of practice in those places, in jail and in the house of Pharaoh. And even though he had another gift to be able to interpret dreams, which was crucial in getting to his destination and the leading of Egypt, he became the leader that God had called him to be. You can look back, I can look back, and I'm sure you can, and go, wow, that's what God wanted me to do. Because if God told you all about the specifics in the middle, it would scare you to death and you'd run. You don't need to worry about your destination. Just stay faithful. Just serve. God will take care of all the details. I remember when I first came into this church, in this building, the first thing I did, put my name down for the cleaning roster, then ended up helping in the office. And God had a plan for that because I learnt the finances of the church because I'd worked in the banks for 14 years. I'd worked in a bank, so I love finances and I understood them. So God helped. I suggested to Sue that I could help do this, and I learnt the programs and everything. And only to know that down the track, when they left, I was it, and I was the only one that knew them. So God had a plan and a purpose for all that. So you just go about, you just do what you can do, and you don't even realise that you're contributing to the plan that God has for you. So he just gives us direction. Just do that, Julie. Just do that, Julie. Stay faithful, trust God, and you will arrive at your destination, and there'll be a few bumps along the way, but that's okay. So Joseph was faithful and he stayed pure. He showed integrity, and all these things showed his character. Right, so purpose was the first thing that I wanted to highlight today, the purpose that God had for this. But the second thing is a really big thing. It's about forgiveness. As Joseph travelled to Egypt on his promotion, I wonder what was going through his mind. He could have been bitter at his brothers who sold him as a slave and bitter with Potiphar's wife who falsely accused him. He would have missed his father. He would have missed his home and his family because they loved him, his father loved him dearly. But he'd been all alone in a pagan land, all because of his brother's sin and hatred. But I believe that by the time Joseph got to where he was, he'd already forgiven them because the Lord was with Joseph, the Bible says, in everything he did. And that can't happen if you're hanging on to unforgiveness in your heart. God would not have prospered him and given him favour to step into his destiny that was prepared if he had have been carrying unforgiveness. And just like Joseph, every one of us has or will have to face this test, and sometimes it's a daily occurrence or things keep coming up, that we'll have to deal with hurtful relationships, wrong and even malicious behaviour. But Joseph passed that test with flying colours. And to do this, there's things we need to do. Release, receive and forgive. And I'll explain those. To forgive others completely is to release them from all charges against them. All charges. Even though what they've done is wrong, true forgiveness does not continue to look for justice. True forgiveness releases the wrongdoers from the punishment that they deserve. Remember, that's the way God forgives us. And when God forgave us our sins, he released us from the punishment that we deserved, didn't he? And he's no longer counting our sins against us. And that's how he expects us to forgive one another. So when we forgive as God forgives, we have to release the person fully. It's a big one. But unless we can learn to forgive fully, we will not be able to walk fully in the destination of God's plan for our lives. And we've all had a million opportunities not to forgive. I mean, Joseph was sold into slavery at the age of 17 by his brothers. How difficult would that have to be, forgiving them? You know, it's easy to forgive a minor thing, but you know, when major things happen to us in life, it's not always that easy. But here are some things about how Joseph forgave his brothers. So before I go on, there's many chapters in this story. It's a great story. I encourage you to read them all. Another little overview before I get to the next bit. Eventually, the father and all the brothers are united and all their families are moved to Egypt to be closer to Joseph. Could you imagine the reunion when Joseph saw his father again? There was joy and there were weeping, was weeping, but it was weeping joy. And Joseph assigned them to the best land and there they prospered. There's a lot happened in between that, but today we're just going to go here. So there's a reunion there. They finally meet up all together, all the brothers and the father, and there was joy. And Joseph looked after them. They had favour, even with Pharaoh, because of Joseph. Now, Joseph's father, Jacob, lived another 17 years on before he died at 147. So Joseph and his brothers buried their father back in the land of Canaan where his ancestors were. And now that the father had died, the brothers were afraid that Joseph would begin to seek revenge. Could he really have forgiven them, they thought. Let's have a look and see what it says here in Genesis chapter 50. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, and he and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father. When Joseph saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps he will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin for the evil they did to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father.'" And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And I don't think he wept because he hadn't forgiven them. He wept because they didn't get it. They'd missed it. There was no repentance from these brothers. Jacob's dead, and I believe they came up with a lie, a plan to lie and manipulate. They came up with this and saying that these were Joseph's last words, but there's no record of that in the Bible, of him ever saying that. So how do you forgive people that don't repent? It's easy to forgive someone who comes and says, "I'm really sorry about that, I was wrong, please forgive me." But it is difficult to forgive someone who will never admit they're wrong and continue to lie and manipulate. Verse 18 says, "Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good.'" What a great attitude. "In order to bring about as it is this day to save many people alive." You see, that was his destiny and his purpose, was to save these nations around of Egypt and beyond. And so he says, "Now therefore do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. Again, it's easy to forgive someone who is repentant and says sorry and asks for your forgiveness. But there are people that don't ever, and you may never hear that. But here are some things that might help you to release someone fully. Joseph was 17, remember, when he had his dream. He was 30 when he stepped into his destiny. Then he had 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine. He met his brothers at 39, 2 years into the famine. But when they came with this scripture and Joseph was dead, he's now 59 years old. So they'd had 20 years to repent. And I don't think by any means Joseph said this, especially he commanded. They just crafted this story because they were really scared of Joseph. So what if someone doesn't repent and doesn't take responsibility for what they did to you and continues to lie or spin a story? Or maybe you never see that person again. Can you forgive that person? This is not when Joseph forgave them. He'd already forgiven them way back, years before, because he'd already accomplished much of his destiny by his 59 years. He'd already forgiven them. But it's just amazing how they manipulated and put this lie into the story. But what you need to know is Joseph understood something. He'd already forgiven them. And when you don't forgive, you put yourself in the place of God. He said that here in this scripture. For am I in the place of God? When you don't forgive, you're thinking you're God. You're putting yourself in that place of God. You may not realize that, but today, think about that. Joseph was like, well, who am I to not forgive? Am I God? No. He knew he was not God. And if you don't forgive yourself, you will set yourself up as God. And the problem is this. When you don't forgive someone, they're fine. They're fine. You see, it's like when we vengeance against someone, it's like drinking poison and hoping that they'll die. That's how it is, because we're still holding on to it. And Joseph could have lived his life thinking, well, now my brothers have to bow down and honour me and see how gifted I am and how smart I am. But he didn't live that way. He lived his life in humility. You see, we have nothing to prove, but we have someone to please. And I think this keeps us humble. We don't have to walk around proving ourselves. You can prove them wrong. Joseph proved his brothers wrong, not that they knew what was happening, but that what they did didn't stop God's plan and purpose for his life. Because if your father or your mother or a teacher said something to you that was hurtful and it was wrong, and the enemy came through that and you don't forgive, you'll live your life trying to prove that they were wrong, that my father said I'll never amount to anything. No. We don't have to walk around proving anything, but we do have someone to please. So when you release that person, you release God. You release God to work in your life and their life, okay? And until you do, you're standing in the place of God. So you release God to work in that situation and in that person's life. And that's what Joseph did with God. Because God is the only just person. And yet God says in the word too, vengeance is mine. He's the only one that has the right to do that, not us. God is the only one just. And you know what? In Matthew 6, starting at verse 12, this is the end of the Lord's Prayer. It says, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you don't forgive, you're going to be easily led into temptation. And if you don't forgive, you will be in bondage to the evil one. That's why it says, God, don't let this happen, but rescue us from the evil one. And it goes on the next verse and says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if we're not careful and if we hold on to that, we can be led into temptation. We can be walking around trying to prove ourselves, but we only have to please one person. And if you don't forgive, you will be in bondage to the evil one. So God didn't tell us to forgive because they deserved it. He told us to forgive because it releases us from any bondage and vengeance to that person. This scripture is pretty strong, but God knew why he was saying this. And it talks about receiving. And I wonder, if you have trouble forgiving, could it be because you have trouble receiving? You see, here's the way God forgives, fully and freely. You have to receive freely what God's done for you, and you don't have to earn it. It's free and it's done. And if you think you're earning your forgiveness from God, then you will make other people earn forgiveness from you. I learned one thing, that when I had things I had to forgive, I forgave before I ever heard a sorry word. And then when the time came, this person came sorry and repentant, but I'd already forgiven. And so I was already free. I'd already released this person. And we need to learn that too. We don't have to earn anything from God. It's freely given, so freely receive. And then if you think you deserve forgiveness, then you'll say you don't deserve to be forgiven to the other person, and to just remind you that you don't either. We don't deserve anything. It's only by God's wonderful grace that we can receive. So you have to come to that place where you forgive the way God forgives, completely and freely. And Matthew 10:8 shows us that. Freely you have received, freely give. And if you haven't received freely, you won't give freely. And I think that can flow over to other areas of your life. So we have a purpose, because God has a purpose for everyone. Just be faithful. Just be faithful to the word and your journey. And if there is anyone that you need to fully forgive today, I pray that the Holy Spirit has been talking to you through this message, because he does. And it's not for their benefit. What they did might have been very wrong. It's for you to be free, that you can walk in the forgiveness and the grace that God gives each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. I find when you talk about forgiveness that there's always a lot of people that God is speaking to. And if he's speaking to you today in any areas, just remember you've got a purpose. And if there's anything holding you back, check your heart. Lord, is there anyone I haven't forgiven freely and fully? Because I've received it from you and I want to give it and release them. If that's you, if anyone has that, I would be honoured to pray with you.